Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good afternoon and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Polly Whitehorn, your host for today's show, sponsored by eCare Diary. Today, the focus of our show is the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative, or ADNI. This defines and tracks the progression of Alzheimer's. Today, we are very fortunate to have a guest with us, Dr. Michael Weiner. He is going to help shed light on this, and I am very pleased to introduce him. He is the director of the Center for Imaging of Neurodegenerative Disease at the San Francisco Veterans Administration Medical Center and professor of medicine, radiology, psychiatry, and neurology at the University of California, San Francisco. He is the principal investigator of the National Institute on Aging's Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative. Dr. Weiner currently serves as a caregiver to his mother, who is suffering from early signs of Alzheimer's disease, as well as has voluntarily participated in the trial by undergoing all of the necessary tests involved with ADNI. In 2011, he accepted the Ronald and Nancy Reagan Research Award of the Alzheimer's Association on behalf of the ADNI, project. Now, Dr. Weiner, I hope that you're there. I know we were having a little bit of connection difficulties before. Are you there? Dr. Weiner? Dr. Weiner, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, excellent. I'm so glad that you're on the line. Much better. You sounded like you were underwater before, but you're loud and clear now. Okay, great. Well, were you able to hear the introduction just now?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. Great. Great. Well, I just have to say we are so lucky to have you with us today, and I know our audience will really be fascinated by the information that you are going to share with us. First of all, I'd like to start off with a question, a very basic question, which is, well, what causes Alzheimer's disease?
Alzheimer's disease is probably caused by the accumulation of two proteins in the brain. One is called amyloid, and amyloid forms plaques on the brain. The other protein is called tau, and tau is a protein that accumulates inside the nerve cells of the brain. So Alzheimer's disease is certainly associated with the presence of amyloid and tau. It's not possible to have Alzheimer's disease unless both amyloid and tau accumulate in the brain. But we still don't know why some people get Alzheimer's disease. That is, why some people develop amyloid and tau accumulation, why other people can live to a ripe old age and they never get it. So that the major factor that is associated with Alzheimer's disease is age. Young people never get Alzheimer's disease, or unless they have a very rare form. But Alzheimer's disease becomes much more common once people get over the age of 65. And, of course, a horrifying fact is that almost 50% of everybody in the United States who's alive over the age of 85 has Alzheimer's disease. So once you get into your late 80s and 90s, Alzheimer's disease becomes extremely common.
Very interesting statistics. These are very interesting things that you're talking about. Let me just ask you, and I know everybody worries about this, is Alzheimer's genetic?
Alzheimer's definitely has a genetic component. It's not completely genetic. But as I just mentioned, the major risk factor is age. It occurs in older people, not younger people. The second major risk factor is a family history. So if you have a blood relative, a mother, a father, or a brother or sister who has had or has Alzheimer's disease, your chances of having it are substantially increased. And we know something about the genes that cause Alzheimer's disease, but there's still a lot of things we don't know about the genes that cause Alzheimer's disease, and a lot of people are working on that.
That's great. What are some of the changes that occur in the brain of people with Alzheimer's disease?
Well, as I mentioned, there is accumulation of these two proteins, amyloid and tau.
Mm-hmm.
And the accumulation of these proteins is associated with damage to the nerve cells in the brain,
mm-hmm.
especially the nerve cells that are involved with memory function. There's a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is where we learn new things. And the hippocampus is an early target of Alzheimer's disease. So the connections between the nerves, called the synapses, are damaged in the early phases of Alzheimer's disease. And then the nerves get sick, and ultimately the nerves die. So you have loss of the nerve cells in the brain, and the brain shrinks because of the loss of these cells. And over the many years of Alzheimer's disease, people can lose 20 or 30% of their brain volumes due to all this nerve damage. So in summary, the major things that happen in the brain are accumulation of amyloid and tau, damage to the synapses, the connections between the nerves, progressive sickness and damage to the nerves themselves and loss of the nerves and brain shrinkage.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something else. What are some of the myths of Alzheimer's disease that caregivers and seniors need to be aware of?
Well, there was a myth about aluminum that for some time people thought that aluminum seemed to cause Alzheimer's disease, that Alzheimer's disease may be caused by using aluminum cookware. And that 10 or 20 years ago, that was a very popular urban myth, but that's definitely been dispelled. It's definitely not the case, and nobody believes that anymore that aluminum has anything to do with it. The other myths are that you really can do something to prevent it. We're just not certain that, for example, one myth is if you do crossword puzzles or challenging activities that you can prevent Alzheimer's disease. There is some data to suggest that might help, but it's not really that strong. And I think that has become a bit of a myth. I think the best thing that people can do to prevent themselves from getting Alzheimer's disease is basically to live a healthy life, because all of the things that are associated with good health are associated with a reduced incidence of Alzheimer's disease. So if your blood pressure is controlled, your cholesterol is controlled, especially getting regular exercise, there's lots of evidence suggesting that regular daily exercise helps the brain function and reduces the incidence of Alzheimer's disease.
Interesting. And before you were saying, that you were dispelling this about crossword puzzles preventing Alzheimer's, but what about brain exercises to slow the progression of Alzheimer's? Is there any validity in that?
Very little. There really is very little. There have been some studies that show that some of these brain exercise programs improve cognitive function. That is, they lead to some small improvement about the way your memory works and so forth. But the evidence that they actually slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease is very limited. And unfortunately, at this time, there really is nothing that we know of that slows the progression of Alzheimer's disease. That is, in fact, why the federal government, together with private industry, came together to form the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative. We call it ADNI. So ADNI is the largest grant. It's the largest project for the study of Alzheimer's disease. It's going on all over the United States and Canada. And we're looking for people over the age of 65 to join the ADNI project to participate and help us learn more about how this disease progresses, what is the difference between those who have Alzheimer's and those who do not have Alzheimer's. So if your listeners are interested in joining ADNI, they should call 1-800-438-4380, 1-800-438-4380. So ADNI is a study of people over the age of 65, including completely healthy people, normal people. So I, for example, I'm a senior citizen myself, and I'm a participant in ADNI. We're looking for people who have mild memory problems, and we're looking for people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease or people who have quite a severe memory problem who are likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. So if any of your readers are interested in joining the ADNI Project, or perhaps their parents or grandparents would be interested in joining the ADNI Project, they ought to call 1-800-438-4380 and talk to the center and find out about a center near them, because there are places all around the country, and the ADNI sites are located in all the major cities, and people could get involved with this project. We do MRI scans and PET scans and all kinds of testing for memory function. It's an interesting kind of a thing to do, and it's only by doing this kind of research on people that we can really understand the transition from normal aging to Alzheimer's and work out better ways to investigate the disease and to find out which treatments are going to be effective.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, how long has this study been in place, and typically how many people do you have in a study group?
The project began in 2004, so it's been running about 7 years. We initially enrolled over 800 people across the country, and we've been following them for more than 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We are now enrolling a new group of 750 people, including people who are completely normal, people with mild memory problems, and people with dementia due to Alzheimer's disease.
Well, let me ask you, now, what makes ADNI different from other Alzheimer's disease trials?
Well, ADNI is not a treatment trial. ADNI is a study aimed at understanding the natural progression from normal aging to Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And ADNI is aimed at developing better biomarker methods that could be used in treatment trials. ADNI is extremely large, so it's different from a lot of small studies that go on, for example, at single institutions or single universities. ADNI is unique in that it's a public-private partnership, that ADNI is funded both by the National Institutes of Health, which is part of the U.S. government, but ADNI also gets about a third of its money from the pharmaceutical companies who are attempting to develop drugs for Alzheimer's disease. And we have about 25 companies, all of whom contribute their funds into a pool, and the pool goes to the NIH, which provides us with the funds. So we've received $140 million in funding. We're the largest grant that's ever been funded for the study of Alzheimer's disease. So the scope is large. We're multi-site. We've got 57 centers in the U.S. and Canada. We've enrolled hundreds of people. And the other thing we do, which is extremely unique, is that we release all of our data on the Internet before any papers are published. So any scientist who's interested in getting access to the data can easily do it and write papers. We don't hold on to the data ourselves, so we can write our own papers and get the glory. Everything is publicly released. And for that reason, more than 200 scientific papers have been written on the ADNI Project, which is a huge amount of publications for a grant like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unique in many ways. It's really the major source of information about how humans progress from normal aging to mild cognitive impairment to Alzheimer's disease. And the results of ADNI are used by the pharmaceutical companies to design their trials. So it's a very practical project aimed at a very practical thing, ultimately, which will help find a treatment which will slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something, and I'm sure this is a question that our listeners are wondering. What are the benefits to those that do volunteer for this study?
The major benefit is that you're helping everyone. The major benefit is you're contributing to the knowledge that will help conquer Alzheimer's disease. Another benefit is that you get an extremely thorough workup and examination and everything, which, of course, is completely free because it's a research study. And any significant findings will be reported to you or your doctor. So you get a very comprehensive, very thorough workup that's done by some of the best Alzheimer's doctors in the world. It's very carefully designed. So if people have concerns about what's going on, do they have a problem, this and that, this participating in this will provide a lot of useful information which their doctor can use in their assessment. Another benefit is that one learns a lot about what modern medical research is like. I personally find it a kind of a fun project to be involved with. They take you through a lot of different kinds of tests. You have brain scans, you have memory tests and so forth. So you get a sense of what modern clinical research in the field of Alzheimer's is all about. So I would say those are the major benefits.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Now, can you tell me a few of ADNI's most notable accomplishments?
Well, I think the biggest accomplishment is the recognition that Alzheimer's disease occurs very early, long before people have symptoms. We now call it preclinical Alzheimer's disease. The ADNI Project has clearly shown that a substantial number of people in their 70s who appear to be completely normal, who think they're fine, really have signs of very early Alzheimer's disease developing in their brain that we can detect by imaging or other biomarker tests. So this is now called preclinical Alzheimer's disease, and the significance of this is not completely clear at this time. That is, if we find evidence for preclinical Alzheimer's disease in a 72-year-old, it's not possible right now to predict how quickly this is going to result in a clinical effect on the subject. The subject might live another 30 years and never have a problem, or the subject might in 5 years start to have some cognitive problems and develop dementia. And we just don't know how much of a risk it is when we see early Alzheimer's in the brain of normal people. So I would say that's the first major accomplishment, the recognition that Alzheimer's disease occurs in the brain long before any symptoms or problems develop, and certainly very long before there's the development of dementia. The second major accomplishment is that the data from the ADNI project so far has been used by dozens of pharmaceutical companies in designing their clinical trials. So right now, around the world, there are many studies going on in which different kinds of drugs and treatments are being used to slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. And we're very hopeful that over the next couple of years, one or more of these treatments is going to emerge as something that really works. And almost all of these trials are being conducted by companies who are funding ADNI and who are using the data from ADNI to help design their trials. And that's certainly a major accomplishment. A third accomplishment is that the ADNI project has led to the standardization of biomarker measurements. But by biomarkers, I mean imaging and measurements of proteins in the blood and cerebrospinal fluid, and the standardization of these measurements is very helpful when dealing with the Food and Drug Administration and the European equivalent of the FDA, and this is very important for the pharmaceutical companies who have to get approval from these regulatory agencies in order for their drugs to be on the market.
Interesting. Very notable accomplishments. Earlier when you were talking about preclinical Alzheimer's disease, how do you differentiate between someone who has some memory loss and someone who would be, someone who would be destined to actually have Alzheimer's?
Well, that's a very big question, and that is really the big problem that we're trying to get an answer to.
Mm-hmm.
So many people in their 60s and 70s will begin to notice that their brain is not working quite like it was when they were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, especially memory problems. I mean, I'm 70, and my ability to remember the name of a movie or sometimes even the name of some old friend or something that I did, it's just not what it was. It takes me a longer time to figure out where it is. And I think sometimes it's a little more difficult for me to remember where I put my car keys and where I left my eyeglasses and that sort of thing. And all of my friends, many people in their 60s and 70s and 80s, will tell you that they have these symptoms. And one big question that everybody has is, well, what do these symptoms mean? Does it mean that I'm going to have a progression and that I'm going to have dementia? Or is this just the kind of thing that happens as your brain gets older? And this is exactly the kind of question that we're trying to answer in the ADNI project. What we do see is that some people have early signs of Alzheimer's pathology. We can detect evidence for amyloid in the brain of people who are completely normal, who have no symptoms, or people who have these kind of very mild symptoms associated with normal aging. And other people don't seem to show that. And data is just beginning to emerge that suggests that if you do have amyloid in your brain, which means you have early Alzheimer's disease, that that means you're at higher risk for progression.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible at this time to say in an individual subject, we did this test, and this means that you're going to have decline, and in 5 years or 10 years, you're going to have dementia. We're a long way from that. But that is exactly one of the major questions we're trying to address in this grant project, because the best way to prevent Alzheimer's disease is to identify people before they have any signs or symptoms, identify people who are at risk, and then treat them before they begin to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so our big study is aimed at using a wide variety of new technologies to identify early signs of Alzheimer's in patients and see to what extent it's a predictive factor for future trouble. And then this kind of information can be used in future treatment trials, including prevention trials.
Now, how do recent National Institute on Aging guidelines affect ADNI and other Alzheimer's disease research?
Oh, they affect it a lot. First of all, the current guidelines from the National Institutes of Aging are research guidelines. So up until very recently, when we spoke of Alzheimer's disease, we really were talking about dementia. And many physicians and patients still think of Alzheimer's disease as meaning dementia. And it used to be said in the old days that you couldn't make a firm diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease unless you had an autopsy. But now with the new scanning technology, it's easier and easier to make a diagnosis in someone who has dementia with a high level of certainty. But it's also been recognized, and our ADNI project has provided a lot of data here, that long before people get dementia, they go through essentially two stages. There's the dementia stage, then prior to the dementia stage, there's the stage of mild cognitive impairment, and then prior to the mild cognitive impairment, or MCI stage, we have the preclinical stage. So we think of aging and Alzheimer's disease as having a spectrum or an evolution in which, first of all, there's normal aging. Then there's the very slow development of Alzheimer's disease in the brain, especially around the hippocampus and other areas. And that is the preclinical stage. Then when people begin to have some symptoms and some impairments, that gets us to the mild cognitive impairment stage of Alzheimer's. And then finally, if people have real functional impairment, they can't do things that they used to be able to do, at that point then they enter the dementia stage. But not everybody with mild cognitive impairment has an early form of Alzheimer's disease. About two-thirds of the people who have mild cognitive impairment, or MCI, do have Alzheimer's pathology in their brains. But one-third of the people with MCI don't have Alzheimer's pathology in their brains, and their prognosis is better. So the ADNI project has shed a lot of light on this because we've shown that people with mild cognitive impairment who have amyloid in their brain progress much more rapidly than people with mild cognitive impairment who don't have amyloid in their brain. So having amyloid is not a good thing. It's got a worse prognosis, but we can't say right now in an individual subject exactly what is your prognosis based on these kinds of tests. That's why the ADNI project continues to be a research project. Over the next several years, many of these methods used in ADNI will get incorporated into clinical use, but at the current time, it's a research project.
Well, this has all been really interesting, and I know earlier in our discussion, you gave our audience the contact information for the study if they want to become involved in the study. Could you share that contact information one more time with our audience?
Sure. This is, in fact, the ADHERE Center at NIH. It's 1-800-438-4380. So if you call this number, you tell them you're interested in ADNI, and you tell them where you live, they will give you a phone number, which is an ADNI site that is close to your home. Or if you happen to live, there are places in the country where there is no ADNI site, but the ADNI sites are in all the major cities in the United States, and most of the population lives within a one-hour drive of an ADNI site. So it's 1-800-438-4380, and it's called the ADHERE Center, which is the main call-in center for the National Institute of Aging. So actually, if you call the ADHERE Center, they can also answer other questions about Alzheimer's disease and get referrals and so forth, but they also will refer you to the ADNI site.
That's great. Well, I want to say thank you so much, Dr. Wiener. It has been a real pleasure having you as our guest. You've just been a wealth of information about the study. And I just want to share with our audience the fact that you can learn more about Dr. Wiener and his study on a website, and that website is www.adcs.org/default.aspx. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in today. Join us next time on Tuesday, August the 9th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when I will interview Dan Cohen. Dan is the founder of Music and Memory, and he will talk about the therapeutic benefits of personalized music programs for seniors. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and we look forward to having you join us next week. And thank you, Dr. Wiener. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.